Amen. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. Thank you, Brother Justin. Thank you, church, for the song service tonight. You know, it is an honor and privilege to be a child of the living God. I know that, and you know that. But I'm afraid sometimes people lose sight of that and lose sight of the grace that brought us to Christ. Not necessarily us, but some Christians. But when it gets worse is when it affects the churches and pastors and church members and churches. We are all under strict guidelines by the Lord. The Lord tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, He says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word of doctrine, word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. It is without question that both the churches and the pastors have a great responsibility to one another. The churches are defined as the body of Christ, but also the body of the assembly that is the sanctuary called the church. Most were brought up together and have been members of together for years and even decades, grew up together, have known each other for longer than you can remember sometimes. Pastors are also members, but we're most likely brought in by the Lord, not grown up in the churches, not part of the church for decades before us. And we're brought into the churches for the purpose of leading the churches, teaching the churches. Both the pastor and the church body have responsibilities toward each other. The pastor is to love, teach, lead, oversee the church body. He is called an under-shepherd, with Jesus being the shepherd. And while the church has great responsibility to their pastor, and it needs to be studied and obeyed at the command of God, it is the pastor or the elders I want to speak about in this sermon mostly. The Lord gives us strict rules in churches of how we're supposed to do things. Sorry, I can't hardly speak tonight. And we are to follow God's guidelines no matter what. No matter what. No matter what, we follow the guidelines of the Word of God. And it's when we get outside of these guidelines that the Lord starts to getting upset with us, rebuke us, chastise us. Because God expects us to be what He ordained us to be, and God expects us to go the way that He ordained us to go. And God expects us to accomplish the task. And God never expects His pastors, nor His churches, nor His believers to disobey Him. In fact, if you go over to Revelation chapter 2, when the Lord is talking to the church in Ephesus and seven churches, Asia Minor, He says, unto thee, verse 1, He says, unto the angel of the church, as the pastor of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he which holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Let's skip on down because I ain't got a lot of time. He says, nevertheless, in verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. In other words, the Lord's telling the church here, you remember what brought you down. You remember the sin of getting away from the truth. You remember the sin that you fell from the Lord. And you repent. And do the first works. That is, go back to the truth and accomplish that. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. The Lord says he will remove the candlestick unless the church repents. It grieves me terribly sometimes when I see some pastors and churches, and even Christians, and how they act to things, and how they react to things. But especially the Word of God and the Word of Truth. So let's go to our first point. The elders are here defined as pastors. When he talks about in verse 17, the first part, let the elders that rule, rule well. So let us define the words rule well. The word means one who leads honestly or upright. In other words, one who leads according to the Word of God. God has set the standard in the Word of God that we are all to obey and all to abide by. We're not allowed to go out and do what we want and okay what we want and change things the way we want. Churches throughout time, you go all the way back into the history of the churches, back into the first century, and you'll find churches doing what the Lord tells them to do, how the Lord tells them to do it. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, if you will. Here we see Paul writing to the church at Rome, talking about pastors. In verse 6 through 8, he says, having then the gifts differing according to the grace which is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portions of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with dignity, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The word diligence means with eagerness, but also with carefulness. Forward or strong. And with haste and with urgency. Everything with the Lord is an urgent. The urgency of our time in the church age is to get the gospel to the world. It's to make sure that the gospel, the true gospel of the scriptures, is given to the world. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. Paul also writing here, through the Holy Spirit, talking to pastors again, And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. This is a charge that every pastor gets when he's ordained. Every minister, no matter what ministry you go to, you get this charge in your ordination. I got it in mind. All preachers get it. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't preach what people want to hear. Don't try to tickle people's itchy ears. Don't try to make people happy. That's not our job. We are to preach the word. You know what? Sometimes preaching the word gets preacher in trouble. Because sometimes people don't see the truth. Sometimes they think pastors are judging them. Whenever you preach something and it touches home with someone, they think you're judging them. But regardless, we are to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all love, suffering, and doctrine. That's our charge. God said this charge to preachers. The word means a charge. It means primarily its significance to testify through and through, bearing a solemn witness to the word of God. To the word of God. Stay with it. We are not to go out into the world and to accomplish anything. Our job is to feed the sheep. It is when pastors and preachers and even churches get away from what they're supposed to be doing in the Word of God, they start their downfall. They start spiraling downward, not even knowing it. And sometimes they get so far away from the Word of God and spiraling downward, they forgot from where they came, their first love. And it's their job to return. And if they do not, the Lord will remove the candlestick from the church, and they will no longer be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord warned us as churches, pastors, ministers, missionaries, of all kinds of His workers. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that time. We've been in that time for a long time now. And the farther we go in time, the more so they do not want to hear sound doctrine. And where will they go? The Lord said, but after their own lust they shall heap themselves teachers, having itchy ears. Patting them on the back, bragging on them, talking about them, making them feel good, being okay with whatever they want to wear to church, ever how they want to come to church, and whatever they want to do at church. Because the last thing we want to do is make anybody mad. That is what you call heaping to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The stronger we preach from the pulpit, the more bold we are, means the sounder and stronger the doctrine. The doctrine of the Word of God is never weak. It is never insignificant. And it never gives. It never changes. And bolder the church because of that sound doctrine. And the church will be less likely to fall into unsound doctrine. This is a very large task and responsibility for pastors who are charged with, just as the care to the church is to honor these men with double honor, both commands of God, commands we cannot fail in, the pastors nor the churches. The pastors must honor the churches and keep them in prayer and keep them in his heart, keep them in his love, and always do it, looking after the caring for the doctrine and the soundness of the church. And the church alike is to care for their pastor and love him and respect him and to honor him. To hold him up so that he knows he's being held up by God's people and God's church. It is a large task. Because a lot have failed. Both pastors and churches have failed. There is a breaking point. Go to Romans chapter 12, if you will. If a pastor fails, it could and likely will hurt the church. You think about that. This church was without a pastor for about 14, 15 months, whatever it was. It's not good for a church to be without a pastor. And when God graciously gives you one, you need to help him so he doesn't fail. They are just humans. They are just men. All of us. And if we fall, the church will likely fall with us. Not just the teaching of truth, doctrine, strong doctrine, but also Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, "Are he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerful, using a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, and love toward God's church and the Christ body that we serve." I don't know why I put that over there. Now let's get started. I want you to go to 1 Samuel. I'm going to get into a time here with Samuel and Saul, King Saul. Now, this is a king rulership, not a pastor's job, but it is the same when you look at it from the viewpoint that I'm going to look at it. And I showed you a while ago over in the Book of Revelations, and the church at Ephesus, where the Lord wasn't happy with churches that weren't sound. Pastors that weren't teaching sound, and churches that weren't staying sound. You know, we had to trust God. We can't not preach things. We can't not do things. We cannot not enforce things in the church and doctrine in the church, so that people will come to church. We have to trust God and God's sovereignty in our church. And that is, we have to trust the membership that God has set in the church. And the church has to trust the pastor that God has set in the pulpit. Because the two must work together to accomplish the task that God has given to them. Otherwise, we will fail. Our second point is, this is not an option. It is a command. God doesn't give options. God gives commands. I said on Facebook, this Bible is nothing but a book of judgment and commands. That's what it is. Book of laws. And God will judge us according to these laws. How we obey them. How we experience them in the churches and teach them in the churches. These words, "Let the elders that rule, rule well." And the Lord went on to say, "And I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." It's not an option, it's a charge. Before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, before the Father, and before the Son that's the head of the churches. If a pastor fails, we could all fail. It's responsibility of the church to watch their pastor. It's the pastors to preach the word, the sound word of God, the whole unadulterated truth of God's word, and not worry about whose feelings he's hurting. Could you imagine a pastor that has to worry about 20 or 30 different people in the church and whether or not he's going to hurt their feelings? So we go to 1 Samuel. And look at this 15, and look at this old example in the Old Testament of the greatness of our responsibility. And listen to this very carefully. I'll say again, this is a king God's setting in place, but we can just substitute the king with the pastor and these people with the church, because it means the same thing here. In verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Hearken unto them. Don't ignore them. Don't disobey them. Don't do what you think they say. Don't try to figure them out. You read them, you study them, you obey them, and you teach them, and you obey and you walk them. It doesn't matter whether we're a people or whether we're a church or whether we're Christians. We are all under the one same rule, one same commandment, and that is we obey the Lord. We obey the word of God. We don't water it down. We don't sugarcoat it. We don't worry about people. We simply follow, teach, study, and obey the word of God. Imagine, you always said the greatest job in the world, or the greatest work, I don't consider a job, and the world is to be pastor of one of the Lord's churches. I couldn't think of a more greater honor bestowed upon a man than to be called of the Lord to go to a church and be their pastor. Here, the Lord set King Saul as king over his people, over Israel, over his nation. But it said, now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the word of the Lord. The charge to Saul was, as the Lord said here, now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the word of the Lord. The word hearken means to declare. It is like the word charge in the New Testament. Both the pastor and the king Saul were anointed of the Lord by a specific person over God's people. Anointed means to indicate anointing in a sense of a special setting apart for an office. Both were charged with keeping God's word. I don't care what it is that God appoints you to in your life, whether it's just a Christian, whether it's a prayer warrior, whether it's a church member, whether it's a treasurer, whether it's a clerk, whether it's a song leader, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a Sunday school teacher. I don't care what it is that God appoints us to. We are always to do it by the word of God. Hearkening unto God's word in a very strict sense. Now, if you'll skip down, I can't read all this chapter, to verse 10. But Saul, like some pastors, failed the charge. Like some churches, Saul as king of God's people, that Israel failed the charge. Look at verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be the king. Now, how would you like for God to say, it repented me that I made Randy the pastor of my church in Texarkana? I wouldn't like that. And it wouldn't be happy to you if God said, I repented me that I set Randy in charge of the church in Texarkana because the people there don't deserve him. You do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. You understand what I'm saying? It repented the Lord that he set Saul up as king. And it goes on to say, for he turned his back from following me. Just like a lot of Christians have today. Just like a lot of pastors have today. And just like a lot of churches have today. They have turned their back from following the Lord. It hath not, he goes on to say, it hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Saul. And he cried unto the Lord all night. He was sad. See, the Lord went to Samuel and told Samuel to go tell Saul. Samuel was a messenger from God to Saul. And I'm sure when Saul got this message, he was extremely happy. So he went and told Saul what the Lord said. And when Saul failed, you know what? It made Samuel feel like he failed too. I know it did. Notice the word, Lord used the words, it repented me. Keep your finger there. Keep a marker there because we're going right back to 1 Samuel 15. Go to Genesis 6. The Lord said over in Revelation that if a church left its first love, now let me get this straight. The first love is the Lord and the Word of God. That's the first love. Because if you're a church and you're a Christian, first thing you're going to start learning about is the Lord and the Word of God. The Lord was upset with them, wasn't he? In fact, he had basically excluded them from church as a church. And their only way back to the Lord and church status was to repent back to their first love. I gotta go. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now you understand Samuel, don't you? When he cried unto the Lord all night. It hurts. It hurts when Christians and churches and pastors stop walking according to God's word. It hurts greatly. Now go back over to 1 Samuel. I got to finish this message. I don't like a lot, but I'm going to get back over there. We got a lot still to read over. So where we left off is Saul had not performed, by the Lord's commandments. You know, in the Old Testament, as Israel, God put the ministers in charge of being watchmasters over the people, as he does pastors over churches. And they turned their blind eye to them. They turned their heads and looked the other way while they were doing things they shouldn't have done. Lord wasn't happy with that either. God is never happy when people that he has called and saved and chosen and ordained by his own free will doesn't do what God tells them to do. Because they're not listening to the word of God. They're not letting some of it register. Because sometimes we let our earthly thinking get in the way. I wasn't brought up that way. I don't care how you brought up. Who says you were brought up right? I don't care if your daddy was a pastor. Who says you was brought up right? So Samuel cried all night to the Lord. Go down to verse 19. Saul basically did what Adam did, didn't he? He blamed somebody else. We always do, don't we? Look at verse 19. He says, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said, listen, and Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agi, the king, Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But listen, but the people, that woman you givest me, Lord, she calls me, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed through the sacrifices of the Lord thy God in Gilgal." He blamed them. He said, "I've done it." But what did God say? What did God tell Samuel? Saul hasn't done it. It's Saul's fault. Pastors have to realize their responsibility first to the Lord, and second to the church. We are the watchmen. We are the ones that God had put in charge to be the watchmen of the church, of the people. We're the ones in charge and control to make sure things are going according to God's word, that the strong doctrines are being preached. We certainly can't force them on people. If people don't appreciate them and they leave, they just left. But it's our responsibility to make sure that the spoil doesn't happen. And if it does, don't blame the church. I'm responsible to the Lord. And you are responsible to the Lord as a church to follow the guidelines of the Word of God. I am responsible in the task of feeding the sheep, of watching over the sheep, of leading the sheep, and you all are responsible for honoring me for that position. If I get away from those things, if I start going to the spoil, it's your responsibility to tell me, Pastor, you are going to the spoil. And if you go to the spoil, I will certainly tell you. God wasn't happy. God is never happy when Christians, pastors, and churches, people that God had called, ordained, and purposely caused them to do certain things, and they fail. Just like the church in Ephesus over in Revelation, seven churches in Asia Minor, the Lord said, I'm not going to put the candlestick back until you repent and go back to your first love. And if you do not, you will never be a church again. Just like when we exclude someone. Right? Same thing, isn't it? Unless you repent and come back to us, the first love, the church, and the Lord, you will never be reestablished. What about God? Well, skip on down, if you will, because I ain't got much more time, to verse 22. Who did God blame? God blamed Saul, did he not? In verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. In other words, to obey the word of God is better than anything else. There are no second options. It's either obey the Lord or be punished of the Lord. And to hearken then the fat of the ram. Listen. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now listen closely. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Because you as a church has rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you as a church. Because you as a pastor have rejected the word of the Lord is going to reject you as a pastor. God is serious. Absolutely, without question, God does not allow error in teaching his word. Not optional. Not as we see it. Not as we think it. It's the way God says it. Lock, stock, and barrel. Straight down the barrel of the rifle. And Saul said unto Samuel, what did he say? I have sinned. Finally, he blamed himself, didn't he? He said, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voices. It caused him to reject the Lord. Lord said, you cannot serve God and mammon. One will cause you to hate or despise the other. You cannot hearken to the voice of the people. You cannot listen to the people. I don't care if it calls to your ministry. You don't listen to people. You listen to God. Churches do not listen to people. They listen to the Lord. They do the commandments of the Lord. And if people disagree with the word of God and the strong doctrine of the word of God, that's their problem. Our job is serious. Our job is to follow the Word of God, no matter what. So what happens here? Saul, he finally admitted he was wrong, right? Go down to verse 25. God was finished with him. Listen to it. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, and I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return unto thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king of Israel. It's over. It's done. He didn't even give him that chance to repent and come back to his first love, did he? He said, you're done. Same thing can go with the pastor. Lord, say, you're done. It's over. You're not walking the straight arrow of the scriptures. You're not standing on the straight and narrow of the doctor's own doctrine. You're not doing what you're supposed to do as a pastor of church. And Lord, say, as a church, you're not doing what I told you to do. And without you even really knowing it, the door will fly open. The Lord will come in and the Lord will take the candlestick and remove it. You say, but the Lord said if we repent, he'll put it back. If we repent, it's not an option. If we repent, it's a will of God. It would be done only by the power of God. How many excluded members live here in Texarkana that don't come back to this church? How many have repented and came back? Very few. Let me ask you a question. If God wanted them to come back, would he bring them back? Yes. The ones that have come back has come back because the Lord has brought them back. Same thing with the church. Same thing with the pastor. Oh, if I left this pulpit, I could probably get another one. But would it be a church of truth? Would it be a church that walked the narrow path of the strong doctrine of the Word of God? For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. No more. I've washed my hands of you. Just like the people over in Genesis, remember? The Canaanites, women, attracted the Sethonite men. And next thing you know, everything was evil in their hearts and their imaginations, remember? They didn't come back, did they? What happened? God flooded the earth and killed them all. They said, repent of me that I made them. Being a servant, I'll close with this. Being a servant of God is to be an elected servant. Our responsibility is to God. And to disobey God, whether pastor or church, or any other capacity, we will not go unpunished. God gives a charge, and we must fear and obey God's charges and commandments that the Lord has given to us. Thank you for your attention. I hope this has been valuable to me, to you. It was very valuable to me when I started studying that over Samuel. I seen that and I said, Lord, that's what I want to preach. Lord said, that's what you're preaching. Let's all stand. Have a wonderful week. May the Lord bless you all. I'm going to ask Brother Frank, if he will, dismiss the church word of prayer.